Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of, the podcast, where we explore the struggles of life, the challenges of mental health and recovery, and the spaces between. We express our personal views on life here, and this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice or tell anyone the right way to live. This podcast is best used as a place of curiosity and questioning to accompany you on your journey. Be aware there is strong language. Here we go.
So I did a lot of work on my like parenting game early in recovery because I had little kids, two little kids, and they were like triggering issues in me. You know, I found like they would behave in a certain way and I'd react, like I'd yell or get really frustrated or angry. And then I learned that it's because I was like bringing stuff from my own childhood and how I was raised. And basically, so I started working on like how to parent my kids, and it was healing me. So now I have grown and I'm learning how to reparent myself, you know, working with inner child kind of stuff. And like I get to a certain level, and but my mom is still in my life. And then she'll come and just be her old, same old way. And I react almost over the top. So like, say she tries to like pull like the guilting thing that parents do, you know, on me or my child, I like go over the top. I'm like, no. Like I like, and basically there's other things too. Like, so visiting my parents' house at the holidays, like I'll be cruising along at like Jenny speed doing my life. I'm like, I got nice balanced, you know, equanimity and, you know, steady mental health going on. And then I go to my parents' house for the holidays and I like just kind of take a dive, like go back into like old ways of thinking, behaving, acting, reacting. It like, so I guess where I'm going with this is to still have them in your life and they're not changing and growing. And then I'm trying to change and grow. It just kind of zaps me back to where I was. And I'm trying to find a balance without being so angry about it. You know, like I'm trying to find a balance in me growing, but they're not changing their ways. And I'm trying not to be resentful about how they are.
Sounds like your parents are almost triggering to you, like they trigger you in a way almost.
Yeah, they definitely do. So it's my mom and my stepdad. My father's gone, and then recently I lost my grandmother, and it's so weird when I lost that like paternal lineage, like I felt like I was like free, sort of, in a way, like, all right, well, I don't have to people please them anymore. Is that weird? You know, like, but I still have my mom's lineage. And like, I'll give you this example. My mom comes and visits the kids a couple times a month. Well, visits all of us, but, you know, the grandkids are the focus. And she'll bring a craft. And, like, so my 9-year-old, like, used too much glue with the craft. And she was just, like, she wouldn't stop, like, kind of teasing her about it. Like, well, it'd be nice if you didn't use so much glue. You know, like, that kind of stuff. And I was, like, finally, I was, like, Mom, stop. You're going to make her hate crafting. You're going to traumatize her. And then she flips it around like, you make me feel bad because I was just trying to love her. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, like she gets really like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like butthurt about it, you know, like, and I'm like, I just don't want her to do to my kids what she did to me, you know? Also, I've come to know she doesn't listen to this show, so I can
it's so weird because my dynamics with my parents, especially my mom, were never like, oh, my feelings are hurt or anything like that. It was like, fuck you, you son of a bitch. Wow. Like, you know, there was never any of that. Wow. Like, yeah, it's very different. So it's almost funny to hear, like, I couldn't imagine my mom being like, well, this really hurt my feelings.
Well, it's funny. I think very she's different. Just enough therapy to be dangerous. I think.
Right. I was wondering how to use it against you. Which one do y'all think is more damaging? Yeah. That's my curiosity.
I mean, I think being cursed at by your parents is pretty damaging.
I don't know. Like, there's part of me that says that is obviously blatantly rude and awful and terrible.
It's very easy to see. It's very easy to be like, oh, this is, yeah, right? it's obvious.
Like, Jenny's parents' version is so much more insidious and like, hey, I'm going to look like it's the near enemies. It's the near enemy. It's the niceness, not kindness. Right? And it's like, it's not genuine or authentic, but they keep playing that role. So it's hard to be mad about it or you start second guessing yourself. Like, I don't know. I think that's really damaging. It's a mindfuck.
I wonder if it's a difference between like what's the most damaging as a small child versus an adult. Like, you're probably less picking up on the nuances of that as a small kid. Whereas if you're being like screamed at and cursed at, that's tough. But then I think as an adult, when you're being screamed at and cursed at, it's a little bit easier to just say, boundary, stay away from me. Whereas I think in Jenny's situation, then it gets blurrier.
Well, did you feel like your parents were nurturing when you were growing up? Like, was your mom nurturing to you, or did that feel just like fake criticism?
No, I felt nurtured, but then there was like, there was the underside of that. There was like the subtle digs, you know, and that still goes on. So my one friend calls it guilt foo because it's like ninja. Like, it's like ninja moves, guilt foo.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because I used to do it. How I was raised. That's how I did it. And so it's Larissa, one of my best friends, you know, for like decades. She pointed out, she's like, that guilt foo, Jenny. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It took somebody else to point it out to me.
Well, it took my wife to point out, like, she had to tell me that my mom was super mean to our kids. Like, she wasn't, now I was an adult and I would just tell her get away from me or whatever if she was being like, you know, I was able to stand up for myself a little more as an adult and our dynamic was different, but she would do that sort of same, like if you get something wrong, it's like, oh, what are you doing, you fucking idiot, or, you know, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you, why'd you spill that all over the floor? It was like real obvious, like outward, like almost aggression. And like, it took my wife to stand up to my mom and she's like, that's not okay for her to treat our kids like that. I'm like, what? Like, that's completely normal. You know, that's how you're raised. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And she's like, no, that's not okay. And so we sat down with my mom and she told her she's not allowed to talk to our kids like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, wow, I could never say that to my mom.
Always trying to figure out why I'm so messed up. I just realized I had one of each of these parents. I'm like, fuck. Jesus. I had the fucking idiot and the guilter. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I remember my kids coming back from my mother's house with the saying, you get what you get and you don't get upset. And that was because apparently my mother couldn't handle the fact that they liked whatever toy their sibling got more than the one they got, you know, but it's a way to shut down the experience that person is having. Right. And like when we say damaging the kids, like I get you in the physical sense, maybe the kid can't necessarily see what's going on exactly, but that internalized experience, I think, is what Billy and I were talking about recently, that self-actualization versus procedural learning, right? Like, my body's telling me to explore the world by putting things in my mouth, and my parents are yelling at me that that's wrong and I need their approval to get love and food. So, like, that's where that's like, it's kind of like a gaslighting thing to do to a kid even before they can pick up on any of the tone of it. Like, they know my body says this and you're telling me that's not okay, so that means I'm not okay. And I don't know, that seems really fucking damaging. I guess. But either way, I mean, I don't know that it matters which one's more damaging. That's not the point. They're both sound terrible.
And probably it's person by person, right?
I guess.
Like, depending upon what is worst for...
I don't know that we actually have that answer.
Yeah.
I think we do, but I don't know that we actually have that answer.
Well, Jenny, have you been able to set some boundaries with your mom, at least for yourself in recovery? Or has that relationship pretty much just stayed the same on that end?
You know, I haven't. I'm always refining them. And it, like, there comes, like, peaks and valleys. And, like, so we just went through a really, you know, kind of nice holiday season. She was visiting a lot. But then it gets to be too much. And I think I have to do a boundary, like this is my home. You know, like, this is how we act here. And we don't, you know, like, it just, that's what it is. It's, and this is why I'm discovering this. We got through the holiday season and I realized I'm slipping back into some, like, reactive ways. And I have calm and balance for the most part. But then when I hang out with family, it like erodes and I go back to, like, a more anxious state, you know, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. And I'm trying to protect my kids too. It's like, when I, being a parent of two small children in early recovery, so many things were triggered. And that's when I like even took a look at my childhood. Like, I just thought it was so normal. But then it was, you know, it's like, why was I yelling all the time? You know, like, so I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time, like, remembering, like, specific examples. But, like, all I know is that, like, I'm just trying to find a way to be with this, you know, my mom or other family members where I'm not old Jenny. Like, I'm new Jenny. It's hard to hang on to this new me.
Yeah, early on in recovery, I would do limited exposure to family things. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to stay 2 hours and then we're out. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty healthy for me, just being around, like, say that.
Yeah, I need a boundary like that. That's a great example. Stuff. Like, that's probably what I need.
I mean, now it's not as bad. And I make my mom sound like this terrible person. She had her flaws, but she was a good person in a lot of ways. And like, as we got older, she was always one that was very big on, like, obvious favoritism. Like, she always had, like, a favorite grandkid, and I was her favorite kid, so I got the benefits of that. And it was very, like, obvious to my siblings and obvious to everybody else. Like, you get special treatment and we don't, and you get, you know, and she was like that with our kids too. And so we, as we got older, were able to talk to her about that, my wife and I, and, like, kind of point it out to her sometimes, like, hey, you know, it's really not fair to, you know, Sophie, our middle daughter, when you're so favoritism towards Abby. Like, it's obvious. And she seemed pretty receptive to it, and she tried to start doing better. You know, sometimes it would still come up, and we'd kind of have to be like, hey, you know, like, you know, your favoritism shit's coming out. But it became, like, a thing that we could talk about with her, and she was receptive to.
Yeah, I really, I admire your boundary for that. I'm not.
It was my wife. I just was a lucky recipient.
Teamwork.
I'm kind of in the camp with Caroline. The reparenting myself feels like a separate thing from the interactions from my parents triggering those programmed wounds, you know? I guess the reparenting for me is being able, like, okay, my parents trigger that old wound. They touch that bruise that they installed on me. And after I'm able to get out of that moment, I go home, and my typical standpoint would be to be frustrated with that family member, right? I'm going to sit there. I'm going to stew in it. I'm going to be annoyed by them. I'm going to think, how dare they do that to me? I might even bitch about it to other people or something if I need to. And, like, that's where I want to do the reparenting, because the parenting I got was to ignore myself that was hurt underneath all that. And instead of sitting there frustrated and ignoring myself, just like my parents did, I need to find a way to give me a new kind of parenting. I need a parent in me to step up and come be with me and hug me and say, man, it sucks when people hurt your feelings. the parenting I didn't get, you know? So like my reparenting is what I try to do after my nervous system gets triggered, whether that be from parents or whoever, I guess. That's like my way of looking at it.
Okay. Yeah. I guess if I could kind of tie that in to, so when it's my parent that triggers me, I need to then nurture myself with my own inner parent, even though it should have been her, but I have to develop the one in my head and I have to like figure out that that's not her.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I mean,
okay.
We hope and wish that everybody just had that ideal parent for them, whatever that was for them. And that they wouldn't even need this reprogramming or reparenting at this point. They would just have already had it and they would just do this naturally. They would get upset and they would go to themselves and say, man, it hurts to be upset. And I'm going to give myself a hot tea and maybe a nice walk, you know, to tend to me. But since they didn't, yeah, we've got to learn that our typical reaction to our nervous system dysregulation is the shitty programming. It's to do anything but take care of ourselves.
So the issue in my head is actually I think I need to drop that image of my mom, like detach and just start to like create a new mom in my head. Yeah. I mean, I think I've already done that sort of, but I need to like really solidify that practice. Like,
yeah.
And then just have a more detached relationship with her.
If that's what you want. Right? Like it's tricky because, okay, I didn't want to go here, but we're going here. So fuck it. I don't think my mom listens either. So my mom for my whole life has shown love by, gift giving, I guess we'll call it, you know, and I'm bitter about the whole love languages thing. And I don't think giving gifts is an act of love. Anyway, that's a whole nother episode we can do, one day. Like over the course of my life, I have struggled with depression, with energy, with motivation, with the ability to keep up and pick up after myself. I for a long time attributed to this to, you know, in the 12-step program I was in, that I struggle with addiction, and they talk about like feeling like what an average person does on a daily basis to take care of themselves was just too much for me. And I always identified with that statement. I'm like, yeah, it's way more than I can fucking do. I need somebody to take care of me. Which I, you know, coming on the therapy back end, I see a whole lot of stuff about how I got programmed and why that is that way. But my mom will like, she just brings stuff to my house every time she comes to my house. Every time she sees my kids, there's new little toys for them from the dollar store or the cheapo aisle or she works in a grocery store. So the latest 5 years endeavor has been to bring bags of the clearance rack shit, whether we needed it or not. It's like, look, I found the most useless item ever for 24 cents. So I got five of them and now you can have them. But like even during this, like I remember getting her criticism and judgment for how shitty my house looked and the like conditions I was raising my children in. And like I'm a little bitter like looking back at like you were bringing the shit. But anyway, so like sometime 6, 7, 8 months ago, I started planting this seed. My wife and I talked about it. I'm trying to change my life, have less belongings. I think that's the path to me being able to keep up with keeping my house organized and clean in the way I want it, is to just have way less. And if I can't keep up with it all, I'm going to fucking get rid of it because I don't deserve it. I don't really mean that, but I don't need it, basically. It ain't bringing me happiness if I can't keep up with it. And so we started asking my mom to stop bringing so much stuff, right? And like I asked her nicely, kindly, hey, Ma, do you know, just, we really don't need all this. A lot of times it's not feeling good. We don't use it. It goes to waste. Like maybe just. So we started doing this over the course of months and months and months. And this most recent time, about a month ago, she came to my house with some stuff on a day. And I was like, hey, Ma, what's up with all that stuff? Oh, she asked me to bring it and got like really, really jacked up quick. I was like, what in the fuck? I was like, who's she? Right. Oh, well, it's just stuff. And I was like, Mom, I'm just going to leave. I was like, well, you're really welcome here. I'm just asking you why, you know, I've talked to you about this stuff before and like you keep bringing it. And so she walks like 10 feet away from me, doesn't say another word to me, stops in front of two of my kids and says, I was going to have these Valentine's Day gifts for you, but your father won't let you have stuff anymore. So sorry. And then leaves. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So, like, we didn't talk for a couple weeks. And then I sent her a message. And I calmly tried to explain, like, if she were in my shoes, she would like to write to ask somebody to stop doing a behavior that doesn't feel good for her. And, like, I'm not... Apparently, she had... So, after this whole thing, she goes and starts talking about me to, like, my wife and stuff and saying I'm not her father and how fucking dare me and all this stuff. And I'm like, how fucking immature. Why don't you just come talk to me? So, this is when I reached out directly to her and made this statement. And then I waited, like, a week, and then she sent me a text that said, I'm not ignoring you, I just don't know where to start. And then I waited another week of being ignored before I got a message that said I'll respect that and some other stuff that, I don't know, still doesn't feel like she totally grasped the whole thing, because, like, at the end of the message, she was like, I just get my joy by helping, and I guess I'll just have to give that up so that I can have my son in my life. And I'm like, that's such a made-up story in your head, because you're getting joy out of fucking hurting us. That's what you're doing, right? And, like, trying to set that boundary is difficult, trying to hold that boundary. And I think for me, the way it has happened is I did disconnect from the emotional part of it, the part of it that's like, why the fuck does my mom treat me this way, man? I've disconnected from the hurt, really, and just focused in on I need to be strong and hold this boundary because I can't fucking live like this anymore. And if that's, and almost like in a sense, kind of giving up hope on her getting much better and our relationship getting any different. And I hope that's not permanent. I hope I can regain that hope because I feel kind of shut down in that spot, but that's where I've been at.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I really commend you because that you're doing the hard work. Like, I could have these conversations and experience the awkwardness of maybe ignoring each other for a couple weeks. I haven't summoned that bravery enough yet. So thanks for that example, because that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. Because I don't know, I'm a little tongue twisted, but there's a lot more examples that resemble that in my life that I need to have conversations, but I'm scared to like cause a rip because, you know, like you said, Billy, my mom's not a monster, you know, like she was nurturing and she was a good person, but she just, I don't know, she did the best she could. I truly believe that about both my parents. And that was, you know, like, again, coming in recovery, like I had to work through that and come to that belief that they really did the best they could with what they got. Because then I look at their parents and what they lived through and I'm like, all right, well, I think I see how this came to be, but still, like, you just kind of wish they did better. And I guess since me and my brother are healing, because he's in recovery too, I'm like, come on, we're doing the work. We're trying to get better. Can't you come with us? Come on, like, come, you know, get the therapy, get the work, have tough conversations, you know?
Well, there's a thing I try to do in my life, and it's not necessarily specific to this situation, but it might help. Sometimes I try to think, all right, if this was just like a person that I know that was in like early recovery, like not this expectation that I put on because they have this label of mom or dad or sister or brother, but would I give them a lot more space, freedom, leeway if I didn't have this expectation on them that you were my mom, so you owed me all this or you were supposed to be all these things, and just treated them like another human being? And I think that helps sometimes as far as the relationship with that person. Now, as for me, like my reparenting stuff, like, I don't know, I had to come to peace with, like I said, my parents did the best that they could, but they were damaged people that didn't have really good instructions on how to raise kids, and they didn't do a, I mean, they made some mistakes somewhere. They did some things good, like most situations. If I can look at the good parts of what I took away from that relationship, you know, and just be okay there. But yeah, that's hard sometimes. I mean,
I think for me, like the difference between a person in early recovery and my mom specifically, is that the person in early recovery at least has the desire to change and be better. And my mom very blatantly does not.
What do they want to change?
I was thinking the person in early recovery is going to get cut out of my life.
Well, yeah, I mean, my mom kind of has. I haven't had a relationship with my mom for the last year and a half. So, I mean, we're fine at holidays. You know, I see her, like I'll see her at Easter at my mom at my sister's house, and I'll give her a hug and make pleasant chit chat. But like, that's pretty much the extent of my interaction with her, is holidays at other people's houses, for the last year and a half now. So, and that's because of things that she, that something very specific that she did. And then, unlike Jason, I didn't reach out. I felt like it was her job to reach out to me, and she didn't. And so, but I think for me, like, I had to accept that I'm doing the best that I can in the moment. When all this stuff happened, it was within a week of when I found out I was getting laid off. So it was a tough time, on top of an already tough time, right? Because I found out I was getting laid off like a year and a few months after Matt died. There was just like just thing after thing after thing, maybe 2 years after, I don't know. But so she never reached out to apologize, and that's kind of been the end of it. And at some point, maybe I will be in a place where I feel like I want to be the one to address the situation, but right now for me, this is what's working. Now, granted, I don't have kids, right? So when you bring grandkids into the mix, and there's these other humans that are entitled, potentially, maybe not, I don't know, that, you know, you have to factor that in. Like, do my kids have a right to have a relationship with their grandparent? Does my parent have a right to have a relationship with my child? And maybe not. I mean, maybe the parent is so toxic or unhealthy that they don't. It doesn't sound like that's probably the case for, I don't know, I'm not going to make that judgment, but you know,
I'm just going to say nobody has a right to anything.
I mean, but I guess the point is it's much easier for me to cut my mom out of my life, because my decision to do that doesn't impact other people that I love. Yeah, I mean, it does. So my sister's pregnant, and she's due in August, and I planned her bridal shower with my mom hosted it, but I helped plan it. And it was kind of a pain in the ass. My mom lives on the Eastern Shore. She's an hour and a half away. So I'm trying to like design what the party's going to look like without being able to go to her house. And I'm like, send me pictures so I can try to figure out what's going to go where.
Crabs, Eastern Shore, crabs.
She does not want that. She does not want a crab
theme. Wedding shower.
Wedding shower or baby shower. Nope, that's a hard no. So my sister said to me, she's like, do you want to help plan the baby shower? And I was like, not really. I was like, mom can do it. Like, I didn't feel like I brought that much value last time. And my sister got very upset. And I didn't want to do it because I don't want to deal with my mom, you know? But my sister came back to me later and was like, I was really hurt that you said no. I really want you to be involved because I feel like you're going to do a better job decorating the party. And so I was like, okay, I guess then I'll do it. If it matters to you that much, I will do it. But if it was simply a matter of, I mean, honestly, I felt like my sister might be trying to like get us to get along. Like, this might be a little like, but she said, no, it's not that. She just wants her bridal or her baby shower to be really pretty. And she has confidence that I can do that. So So I'm going to have to interact with my mom more over the coming months to plan this baby shower. And maybe as a function of that, we will end up having a conversation. Will I be the one to drive that? I'm very willing to have that conversation with her should she be willing to initiate it. Because to me, that would say, okay, there is a little bit of recognition of your part here. Do I want to be the one to be like, we need to have a conversation about this? Not, I haven't been in that place where I've wanted to. And so I haven't made myself.
Yeah, I don't think I did it because I felt some obligation that it was my job at all. I sort of kind of agree that the parent-kid relationship is mostly one direction. I did it because I wanted to be heard. I did it because I'm at a place in my life where I'm ready to hold the people that say they love me accountable to that statement. This is what it means for me. You can either support that or you can get the fuck out. Personally, I don't care. I know this sounds harsh, but like at the bottom line, being my mom or my daughter or my wife does not give you the fucking right to abuse me. And like, if anything, you should care more about that than the average stranger that generally does not abuse me and cross my lines, you know? And if you can't, and if you can't hear me say that, I want to know that because I need to make a hard decision.
Yeah, and maybe the point of clarity. So the situation was that we went out for my birthday. My mom drinks every day. Mm-hmm. My mom knows that I do not enjoy being around alcohol, that I do not enjoy her being drunk. It's triggering for me. Alcohol has caused some issues in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a week past finding out that I was getting laid off from my career that I loved. And we were out to dinner and she, in the period of an hour and a half, slammed 3 glasses of wine and then was drunk. And so she was supposed to spend the whole weekend with me. And the next morning I confronted her about it and she got very defensive. And I said, I think you should leave. I don't think we should do the rest of this weekend. So I did. There, you know, I had already, she knows where I stand and it, so I guess maybe that's why it's a little bit different. It's not like I was holding it in or she doesn't know. Like I said my piece and she never came back with an apology and I haven't reached out again to try to talk about it now that things have calmed.
I was offended by mine going and talking about me behind my back. That's why I went to her. It wasn't like, oh, I need to go
okay,
address this.
I gotcha,
it was like,
I gotcha.
Oh, she's going to run her mouth and say, I'm doing right. this? Let me correct this motherfucking situation and explain to her that is not what I am doing.
Like, gotcha. Okay.
I've never once told you what you have to do. I'm not being your father. I have asked you to love me. That's all I've done. And like, that's, I needed to correct the narrative. Because if she just stayed in that story in her head, nothing was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the worst way to handle it. But I'm like, couldn't you just take all her stuff and then just throw it in the trash when she leaves?
I could. And there was a part of me that was willing for that to be the solution. Look, yeah. This is what you feel like you need to do. I will just, but I'm going to do it in front of you. Because I want you to know that you're wasting our fucking time. I'm cleaning this shit up a year later after you give my kids candy because they don't fucking want it. Like, we're eating right. additive free at my house. Like, I don't know. It's just one of them things. Yeah. Like, my correction of it was I didn't want her sitting off in a corner stewing, telling this story that she's doing something righteous and justified when that's some horse shit. So that's where I was at. I was like, I at least want you to have the option to hear a different version of that story you're telling yourself.
Start messaging her a list of things you actually need.
Dude, like,
here's the list of things
list.
I need.
Here's
that's
my
I
grocery list.
That's where I want to get to. Like, you're telling me you want to help. Like, why don't you just ask me what kind of help we need? Because right. we need some. Mm-hmm. I got some kids that need rides during the week that you right. could help with. Like,
bring me this clearance
maybe
bullshit.
Instead awesome. Of maybe instead of being at the grocery store buying shit to think about my family. You could just come be with my family and spend time with us. Mm-hmm. How about that? We'd love that.
Yeah. Quality time.
You know? And it's like, I kind of want to say shit like that. I know it sounds like shitty, but.
That doesn't sound shitty, though. Say it again. I mean.
I think it sounds kind of like a dick.
Not
to the person that's
not
in
at
that.
All. I mean,
maybe you could actually just spend time with us to love yeah. us, huh? You know, instead of buying us shit while you're not here, yeah. bitch. Like, so, that's kind of how it comes yeah. across, I think.
I don't Sorry. Think so, though. I think you've already been a dick. You've already crossed the dick line. So just
now
do,
that
do
willing,
it. Finish it. Like,
just
finish
the
job.
The job. Yeah. Finish her,
Put
Jason.
The dagger in.
Fucking mortality. Fatality.
point out the obvious. You don't spend any fucking time right. with this, and you just buy this garbage
right out of her chest.
I mean, right.
then you want to
put the nail in the coffin. God damn it!
I'm telling you to do this because this is like what I want to do. Like, you know, so I'm like, let's let Jason do the experiment first.
I am gonna say it. So she made her statement about, you know, she couldn't have her joy anymore, and I responded back. I said, hey, thank you for respecting my boundary. We love you. We can't wait to see you. I think there's some more to talk about, but it can wait for now. And like, basically that it can wait for now is I need to wait till I find a way I can say it without sounding like an asshole, right? I know I can't right now. I'm still very, very activated around a lot of it. But yeah, that's what our close people do. Mm-hmm. We programmed in all that stuff about connection and disconnection and love, and they triggered the shit out of us. Have you found that listening to the Recovery Sort Of podcast has helped you in your day-to-day journey? Please share the message of compassion and well-being with the loved ones in your life. Connect with us more at recoverysortof.com, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, and other social media spaces. And have a great week.